perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the show, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. It is a pleasure to have you with us, no matter how you're listening. I want to give a big shout-out to all the many new listeners and new downloaders of our program. We thank you for tuning in, whether you're tuning in terrestrially on the radio in West Virginia with the Light of Life Radio Network, or you are a new podcast subscriber. Thank you so much for downloading and being a part of Young Catholics Respond. Always reach out to us at info@patchworkheart.org. That's how you can get a hold of us, or of course Twitter, Facebook, all that other good stuff. But today I am excited to bring to you a wonderful interview with Layla Miller. She is a wife and mother of eight and a grandmother to several. Although she was a cradle Catholic, Miller did not discover the fullness of the Catholic faith until young adulthood. She has blogged for 8 years at the Little Catholic Bubble and has published books Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak and Raise Chaste Men. She has been featured on EWTN, National Catholic Register, Catholic Answers Magazine, The Patrick Coffin Show. The list goes on and on. But she has just come out with a brand new book with Trent Horn called Made This Way. So, Layla, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here and talking about Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Tough Moral Issues.
Hi, Bill. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so let's talk about this. You know, we're dealing right around election time here. The election has just passed as we're, recording this episode. And so let's talk a little bit about the state of our culture and the many different things that are just hammering us. It seems to change every 20 minutes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I can tell you, as a mother of eight, I've been parenting for 27 years, so I have kids from the age of 27 all the way down to eight. And in that time, things have changed in the culture so much that, you know, my head is spinning. When I had my first few kids and was raising the first few kids, things like LGBTQ and other things, even legal gay marriage and things like that, wasn't even on the radar screen. And so it was an entirely different culture. And then the second half of my kids have been dealing with these things, or I've had to deal with them. My husband and I have had to confront things that we never would have dreamed about when our first kids were small. So the rapidity and the whirlwind around us and how fast this is all happening, I think it's catching a lot of parents by surprise, and I think a lot of parents, Catholic parents, are scared and they're anxious and they don't really know what to do, and they don't know what's coming next. So yeah. We hope that we've given them some tools here.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are those big issues that, you know, I mean, as you mentioned, the LGBT, DJQ,
yeah.
I mean, you know, the alphabet soup, I mean, everything else
right.
that's been going on.
Right.
But what are those things that really have come up recently? I know you identify a lot in the book.
Yeah, so we kind of, everything we do, we tackle 10 issues in the book, and they're all related to either the use and the misuse of human sexuality. And those 10 topics are sex outside of marriage, same-sex marriage, divorce, contraception, abortion, reproductive technologies, which a lot of people don't talk about anymore, modesty, pornography, transgender identity, and homosexuality. And so we tackle each one of those issues, and a few of them in there really weren't on the radar at all until recently. So we don't know what's next, but the good news is the whole book is premised on natural law teaching. So it can, once you understand the natural law and once you put that into effect with your teaching your children, you can pretty much tackle any subject and be able to have things make sense to your child. So that was the approach we used, and it's a tried and true approach in the church, but we've just sort of seen it fall into it's not been used for maybe 40 years or so. So we're trying to bring it back.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about natural law. I mean, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of these, almost all of them, actually all of them are issues around the human sexuality. and the misuse of it, as you said. So, so natural law, how does that speak to us? I think that's a really good way to approach it. And I mean, the church really does a nice job using natural law, but let's talk a little bit about that. Our bodies speak an eternal truth, right?
Yes. Yes. God's perfect will actually is spoken through his creation. So we have to look at things according to how they're made or according to their nature. And I always did this with my kids. I raised them kind of for things to make sense, you know, according to something's design, that's how you want to use it. But I never knew it had a name. And so now I know it has a name. I learned that, you know, and I didn't learn that until my 40s. But then I realized, oh, the church has been doing this forever. And basically what it says is, you know, you use a thing according to its nature. So you ask the question, what is the nature of a thing? And we ask that about humanity, you know, being a human being. What is our nature? Human sexuality, marriage. What is the nature of marriage? What is the nature of human sexuality? What are our bodies for? What is our sexuality for? So when you start to look at things according to their design or how God intended them to be used and according to their nature, you realize, oh, okay, that's when things flourish. When we use things according to their nature, things tend to flourish. When we use things against their nature, things tend to disintegrate and disaster usually ensues. And kids get this. This is not rocket science. So when you're, you know, when you have small children, you can start by asking simple questions just to kind of get them in this mindset of reasoning things through. You know, gosh, what happens if Daddy puts molasses in the gas tank of his car? You know, and kids will laugh. What about the car won't run? You know, that's not what you do, right? That's right. Not the design of the car. That's not how it works. Same thing with, you know, what if Mommy tried to brush her hair with a chair? You know, they could laugh, and you can make it into a game. But they start to understand that, oh, okay, we have to use things according to their nature. And that's the foundation of all these subjects that we tackle.
Wonderful. And then, so with some of the bigger subjects that are out there, I mean, you know, we're seeing movies and music, and the it's very hard to escape the fishbowl, right? It's very hard to escape the culture. And so, in fact, we can't, right? It's impossible to
right.
live in a vacuum.
Right.
So when kids come home now from kindergarten or first grade and they're hearing this, you know, language in their schools about, you know, everyone being tolerant and tolerance is this or, you know, whatever. So how do we begin to broach that subject? How do we begin to, you know, talk about those issues with the kids?
So it is true. The culture has now begun to force our hand. You know, before we would have the backup of the culture. It may be a generation or two ago, the culture would want to help keep our children innocent and not talking about sexual issues explicitly. But now, of course, it's flipped on its head, and we're the ones who have to really scramble to try to keep our kids innocent when they're little. And so in those early years, well, the church says, you know, to keep them innocent as best you can before puberty. That's called the latency period.
Right.
And so that's harder and harder to do, but we still have a responsibility to try. And then when our hand is forced, for example, I had one child. Can I give a personal example?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I had a kindergartner a couple years ago sitting in my own son sitting in my kitchen and said, Mom, you know, girls can marry girls. And I just had to, again, never freak out, never, as a rule number one, you never freak out when you hear something. And I went over and I asked him how who he heard that from. And he said, well, you know, Katie told me. And I said, well, Katie's a very sweet little girl, but Katie's wrong. And so very calmly, I had to explain to him, without using any sexually explicit language, that no, mommies and daddies are always necessary for babies. So when children don't have a mommy or don't have a daddy, that's always a very sad thing. It goes against what God wants. So even though they're very nice people that may have told you this, they're wrong about that, because God wants every child to have a mommy and a daddy. So you can kind of give him that type of answer, which will really satisfied him, actually. He understood that. And then, again, other examples of it, if they go into, but the law says, you know, the law, I thought, you know, they said they're legal or they're married. Well, lots of times people who make the laws make mistakes, and we've seen that before, like with slavery and things like that, or if they're old enough to know about abortion, you could say abortion laws. So again, we put everything in a context of what makes sense to them, and we explain to them what marriage is for. You know, marriage is for mommies and daddies to raise babies so that children can have a mom and a dad. So that's the type of thing that we need to say to our children when they're young without getting explicit about sexuality. Obviously, when they get to be teenagers, you can be very frank with them about the issues, and we go into that as well, which we can talk about the structure of the book, too, because it's very conducive to use either for teens or for little kids. And they're very different approaches.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously you want to preserve that innocence as long as you possibly can. And, you know, it is such a great, I mean, that's what our church teaches, number one. But number two, I think that by preserving that innocence, it also allows them to, when they get to be a teenager, have a deeper awareness of the sacred. You know what I mean? Right. The family nucleus. Those are the types of love that are, you know, withstanding all of the storms that are out there. So them understanding that in that, you know, nurtured family, that nuclear family, mom, dad, children. Man, that's the love that I want to pass on to my kids, or I want to pass on through my chastity and celibacy in the priesthood or in religious life, and, you know, and bring that to fruition as well. So, yeah, totally spot on. You know what? I have to take a short break. The conversation just flies on by, so I have to take a short break here, and then when we come back, we'll continue talking about the structure of the book and all the different issues that are going on in our society, and really how to combat them. Again, we're talking with Layla Miller. She has just released a wonderful book called Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. So we'll be right back after these messages here on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder.
Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady's Shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. On today's program, we're talking with Layla Miller. She is an author, a Catholic mom, grandmom, and has a wonderful book out called Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. And in the first half of the program, we're just talking about some of those really tough issues that are out there in the world that our kids are facing, that we're trying to navigate the murky waters, as the cover of the book would allude to out there. And so I kind of want to ask you, this had to be a difficult book to write and kind of piece together. Layla, what was the most difficult chapter for you to write in this book?
That's a really good question. And considering the very dicey subjects that are in the book, including especially, I think, transgender identity and even the IVF issues of reproductive technology, I think, ironically or interestingly, the most difficult chapter to write was on modesty. And I think it was so difficult because even really good Catholics a lot of times don't want to talk about that particular issue. And so, you know, you get all these different ideas of what should or shouldn't be talked about in terms of modesty, or, you know, kind of don't talk about modesty at all because it might mean that, you know, I don't know, women may not want to hear certain ways that men react to visual stimulation, and they make it defensive, you know. So we have all these things to consider even when we write to a really faithful Catholic audience. But we felt it was really important because modesty is that virtue that really facilitates chastity. And all of this is under the kind of the umbrella of chaste living and chastity. And these are all virtues. So modesty is a virtue, and we can't just jettison it because it's a little tricky to talk about in a politically correct, even in Catholic circles. So that was a little bit tricky, but we think we navigated it pretty well. And modesty is something that isn't just for girls, but also boys. But in boys, it's more about modesty of speech and the way that they talk about sexual things, or you know, about women. And so there's something kind of in there for everyone. And it's none of it is about shaming anyone, but it really is about the fact that we need to kind of reclaim that virtue in the way that the Church has always held it up. But it was interesting because, you know, it's one of those that can get heated even in groups of really great people. but they were all a little tricky on their own. But that one was interesting.
Yeah. So if you had to give tips about modesty, I mean, I don't want to spoil the whole book. I want people to buy it and read it. But if you had to give a couple of tips on, you know, especially, you know, you hate to say this is more of a women's issue because there's guys with their pants down to the, you know, about halfway down their butt half the time. You know what I mean? But, you know, what are some of the tips that you give about modesty? And, you know, I even have a spiritual director who talks about going to the beach, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
What we see, right?
Well, it's funny because, one of the stories I tell in that chapter is about being at the beach and with my teenage daughters. And so I have two daughters and six sons, and every year we would go to a very particular nice California beach because my parents would take us on this extended family vacation. And my daughters as teens, they would wear either one-piece suits with little skirts or something that was still really, really cute, but a lot more covered up than a lot of the ladies on this California beach. And so, you know, they looked just a little different. I mean, they weren't in, you know, it's not like they were in a burqa or anything, or any kind of, you know, long prairie thing, but they looked adorable, but it was different than everybody else. So one day I was up near the pool, and a lady, this beautiful, gorgeous blonde lady, came up, And she said, are you the mother of those two girls down there on the beach in those one-piece suits? And I was like, oh, gosh, what's she going to say? She's gonna say we're prudes or, you know, whatever. And I said, yes, I am. And she said, this gorgeous, beautiful California woman said, I just want you to know they look lovely in their modest suits. I mean, she came, I couldn't believe it. It was kind of like God's little consolation to me.
Yeah.
And she said, basically, she was trying to tell me it was just such a nice, refreshing thing to see on a young person that they still looked pretty, they still looked great, but they were modestly clad on the beach. So I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. Because, yeah, you know, you never want to be that. You don't want to be the freak, you know, out there. But on the other hand, we inspire others by being still lovely, but yet, you know, we believe in looking fashionable and looking nice, but just not being immodest. So there are ways to do that, and it's not impossible. And so, yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the beach, because that was one of the examples of how it worked for us, and to realize people are watching and they're appreciating it actually.
Yeah, you know, I think I cannot quote this verbatim off of the catechism, but I do believe in there on the section on modesty, it talks about the fact that when you dress modestly, it actually highlights the parts of the body that God intended to be highlighted. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
I don't have the exact language, because I don't have it in front of me, but I know that there is that, you know, language in there that talks about, all right, well, this uplifts the body, gives it a dignity, and then shows off our God-given worth. So,
so the dignity. Yes, right. Absolutely. This is about dignity and human dignity, and
exactly,
not hiding things that are shameful, but keeping things private that are meant to be revealed in other contexts.
Right.
And that's important for our dignity.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the structure of the book and, you know, how you've pieced this together so that, you know, as people are using this as a resource tool in their families or probably even some parishes, how do they dig into it?
Yeah, it's structured really simply, and the book is very easy to read and easy to use, and it can be almost like a resource book, but, the 10 sections, we first explain what natural law is, and that's really important to begin with, but very simply. And then we go into the sections. So each section is one of the moral issues. And the first thing we do is we give a chapter on the church's teaching. So what we know is that most adults out there aren't really well catechized. We were poorly catechized. I was very poorly catechized in the 70s and 80s. So we know that the parents have to be one step ahead of the kids, and they don't have the words to say it, so we've given them the simple catechesis on each one of these issues. That's the first chapter of each of the sections. The next chapter would be how to talk to little kids on that issue, and then the third chapter in each section is how to talk to teens or the bigger kids on that issue, so that you can go straight to the subject you want. You can also go straight to, okay, I've got a teenager, you know, so I'm going to go to that subject and the section on the teens, but first I may have to learn what the church teaches in an easy way so that I have the words, you know, and I have the knowledge myself to do that. So we figured it was pretty user-friendly. Parents don't have a lot of time. You know, moms are busy. They need something quick. It's also for youth directors. It's for priests. It's for grandparents. It's for aunts. It's for anybody who works with or, you know, talks to children in any capacity these days, and to alleviate their fears and give them confidence, because I think that's another huge problem, is that just parents just do not have confidence in their ability to tackle these things. And God gives you the grace. He made you a parent. He will equip you with the grace to do what you need to do to raise those kids and form them well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the meaning of matrimony, right? It's a sacrament that gives you supernatural grace to be able to handle the tough situations.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, yeah. So the other thing is, you know, I'm sure that there is some resistance, right? To, you know, you know, especially in the teenage years. I'm a high school youth minister, so I get a lot of the resistance from the teens on these issues. You know, and certainly I can't solve every problem in 1 hour a week.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work. But when you talk about, you know the resistance, you know, and dealing lovingly, especially in those older years, you know the little kids you mentioned, yeah, they're, you know, it kind of satisfies them to, you know, talk in, you know, plain language. But when you get to that, you know, age where they're a little bit more rebellious. You know, there's a little bit more of that resistance, and they're hearing more of the cultural stuff. I mean, they can access their phones faster and, you know, whatnot at the lunch table in high school. So what is the approach there?
Yeah, they do. They get they're part of this culture which tells them to go with their feelings and, you know, kind of a false compassion in many ways. And so we have to kind of go with the idea that they've been, the idea that, that they have, which is not bad, which is social justice, you know, justice, compassion, things need to be, made right, and people need to be treated again justly. Justice seems to be a big issue, and so we can speak to that by saying exactly, you know, that's why the natural law and the way that God designs things is so good, because it does ensure justice for everyone. It ensures justice for the unborn. It ensures justice for the children. I mean, we talk a lot about, there's a whole section on divorce. And how, boy, you know, that's actually an injustice to children. We talk about just the idea that when things are lived out according to the nature of the thing and the way that God made it, that people are actually happier. People actually thrive. And so we've got great dialogue in there about how to talk to them when they have the objections, like, you know, for example, on gay marriage or something, like, well, love is love. And so we go through those arguments, but we also make sure that they understand, you know, you look around, they're not dumb. They look around and they see their peers are not thriving. They're not happy. This is not a happy generation. I mean, the suicide rates are up. People are promiscuous. They're cutting, you know, they're acting out in different ways. They're depressed. They're going into the LGBT identity because they're striving to find a family or an identity or something to ground them. So when you show them all this and show them the big picture and then get into these particular arguments and their objections, and you talk to them in a really respectful way, I mean, that's all done very respectfully, they can start to piece it together themselves. And then you call them to something higher and say, you know what? We're Christians, too. We're called to be a little different from everyone else. We're kind of called, if we have to be, we're willing to be the outlier. Maybe we'll be socially shamed, and that's okay. Christ was the outlier. You know, he was humiliated for the truth. He was shamed also. So you can kind of call him to a heroic virtue in a culture that needs heroes. And that especially works for boys, too, because boys love to be heroes.
Right.
So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, rise up and do it. That's certainly something we like to challenge young men with, and any young man listening to this, rise up and be the hero in this situation. The women definitely are looking for that. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Real quickly, I just want to make sure that we tell people how to get the book, where to get it, you know, and whatnot, and, you know, if how to contact you if you want to leave contact information out there for people as well.
Sure. So the book is available at Catholic Answers, madethiswaybook.com, I think is the, or you can go to shop.catholic.com. I'm available, Layla at LaylaMiller.net, and it's spelled L-E-I-L-A, so you can contact me there. I have a pretty big Facebook presence, so you can search me out, Catholic author, writer, yeah, Amazon also. It's always there.
Right.
But, yeah, and Trent, you know, Trent and I, we really wanted to give this tool to parents with his expertise in research and apologetics and my lived experience of raising kids that have all, praise God, you know, stayed in the faith. I have 5 adults out of 8 now, and everybody's still practicing, and they, you know, the world makes sense to them. So we just wanted to give this tool to other parents.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your witness and your hard work. In doing a book like this, it's truly unique and one of a kind out there. So thank you so much for your time, Layla. I really appreciate it this evening.
Thank you, Bill, so much. I appreciate it. God bless.
Yes, and this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org. Email info@patchworkheart.org or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.